Hey, welcome to the Intentional Living Center. Glad to be with you here in the middle of July. Hey, we got a great treat ahead for you. The next 30 minutes, my friend, best-selling author, speaker, one who's helped thousands, maybe millions of people with their marriage and parenting, is joining me today, my friend Dr. Kevin Lehman. And he's written a lot of books on marriage and parenting, and we're going to talk about teenagers, in particular, being a parent of a teen, things that you can do to be intentional. If you have a comment you'd like to leave in our comment line, you're welcome to call 888-888-1717. That's again, 888-888-1717. Love to have you be a part of it today. So, Kevin, welcome back to the Intentional Living program today. Nice to have you on it with us.
Randy, it's always good to be with you. We go back a long, long time.
Yeah, we do.
Translation, we're getting old.
No, not me.
Yeah, not you, just me.
I'm still younger, man. I've always been younger, and I'll stay that way, right?
Yeah,
a little bit.
What was your name again?
Hey, listen, we've got Sandra on the line in Arizona who wants to give you a greeting. Apparently, you've impacted her life. Sandra, welcome to the program.
Hello, and thank you.
Kevin's listening. Go right ahead.
Dr. Kevin, you have no idea the impact that you have had in my life and in the lives of my children. And everything that I have ever done that you said to do worked brilliantly. Mm. And I just wanted to share that.
How old are your kids now, Sandra?
Well, now they range from 35 to 45.
Wow, that mentions about getting older. But listen, Kevin, we hear that story a lot. I think, you know, you look back and realize you've just continued to invest in the lives of people intentionally. Didn't use that word, but that's what you've done. And so it's nice to hear, isn't it?
Well, you know, it is. You know, Sandra, you just got to hear the flip side of that. There's so many parents I talk to across the country. Again, I've been doing this a long time, but you hear where parents have done their best. They've been really model-like in many ways, and yet they have a son or a daughter that's really wayward or whatever. And I just remind people that, you know, God loved us so much, he gave us free will. And our kids, they get to choose the path they want to take in life. And I'm just grateful for your kind words and happy that your kids have turned out great. Mm. And, you know, being a parent, what a great responsibility. I think what grieves me, Sandra, and other listeners, is so many young parents today just don't take the job seriously. It's like the kids are going to grow up on their own.
Yeah.
They drop them off at the kiddie kennel and go do their thing. And not many people put the time and effort in their kids they need to. But for those of you who are doing your part, trust God in all things, do the right thing, let your no be no, your yes be yes, be an authority without being authoritarian, and chances are you're going to create a pretty good kid under your wing.
Hey, Sanders, I understand you got a quick story you wanted to share. Go ahead.
Well, I could share them from every age group to every child, but I will narrow it down to say, I used Dr. Lehman's tactics when mine were little, and I had one daughter that ruled the house, and everybody was late, and he said, whatever state they're in, when it's time to go to school, that's how they go. Don't tell them what time it is. He said, you'll never have to do it again. Boy, was he right, because I was pushing her out of the van with my foot in her nightgown.
Yeah, I love it.
Now, she may be in therapy when she's 30 years old from that, yeah. But that's another thing. You know, when you talk about, for those who haven't read your books, Kevin, just take a minute and talk about what is reality discipline and how does that really fit, especially with raising teenagers?
Well, in essence, it's letting the reality of the situation, whatever it is, become the teacher to the child. And kids are famous for, it's your fault, you never let me do this, you let me do that. Honey, listen, you were the one that said you were going to clean the garage Saturday. And so when you went and asked Dad to use the car because you had a date, we understand how embarrassing that is to call your date and say, well, now we don't have a date, but you were going to clean the garage. And we didn't remind you or coax you all day long. We let you do what you wanted to do. And you laid on the couch most of the afternoon, And now all of a sudden now you want the car, and your dad's right. He said, honey, you said you were going to clean the garage. Well, Dad, I'll clean it tomorrow. I'll clean it tonight. I'll clean it every day next week. They'll tell you anything to get the car. But the question is, are you a disciplinarian? And that's where reality discipline comes from. Let the reality of the situation. So the smart mouth kid, you know, or the two kids that are doing their dog and pony show together, and you walk in, Mom, and you say, hey, I am very unhappy with what's going down here, and turn your back and walk away. You've raked coals over those kids. They don't like it when Mama Bear is upset or angry at their little cub. So, parents, you have much more power than you give yourself credit for.
Kevin Lehman, Dr. Lehman joining me today. We're talking teenagers and how to be intentional with teenagers. Now, intentional living is what? You know, if you listen often or at all to the program, you know I teach, you've got to declare what your intention is. In other words, and this is big for parenting, you've got to declare, hey, listen, my job is to raise a responsible adult. I'm going to do this intentionally. I'm not going to do it perfectly. You know, it's not about perfection. It's about being intentional, doing the next right one thing. And one of the principles we also teach is that you got to declutter your life. If you want to do a good job raising teenagers today, well, the world is cluttered. We got cluttered with technology, cluttered with work, cluttered with stress and emotional things that are going on in our culture. It's easy to get sidetracked away from the primary task of being a good parent. So be intentional, declutter your life, and then do the next right one thing. Dr. Kevin Lehman, more calls for you, my friend, in just a minute. We'll take a break. We'll be back. If you want to join in with a comment, 888-888-1717.
Hey, it's producer Rob for Intentional Living. If you hear something on the program today and think, wow, I wish I could hear that later, you can. In fact, most nights before bedtime when things settle down, I pull out the iPhone and listen to that day's Intentional Living program on iTunes. And if you don't have an iPhone, just go to your smartphone's app store and download the Intentional Living app for free. And voila, you can hear any program on demand right there on your smartphone or on your tablet. And if you're at your laptop or desktop computer, head over to theintentionallife.com and then to Program Highlights, and you can access all the archived Intentional Living programs searchable by title and keyword. It's just one more way to help you live an intentional life in Christ. The website again, theintentionallife.com.
I don't like it when my wife yells at our kids so much. What can I say to her? Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. I've often said that volume should never replace being intentional as a parent. But I can say this to you, whatever you say, do it carefully. Timing is critical and words matter. She needs an ally in that home, so don't be a critic. Can I encourage you to say something like, honey, I notice the kids get to you sometimes. What can I do to be more helpful? I also notice that we both yell, which isn't good. In other words, you're including yourself in the process. What could we do together so we don't need to yell quite so often at the kids? I think as you go at the approach with your wife of one of cooperation and agreement, that's intentional parenting.
For more information and inspiration, go to theintentionallife.com.
By the way, the Intentional Living Minute, 60 seconds every day, heard on radio around the world, including right here. And also a video version of that is recorded and goes on Facebook every day. And we got a growing number of people joining us from all over the planet. In fact, we got like a huge following in the Philippines. I noticed the other day, it's one of our top spots, you know, when you look at the data coming, analytics coming in. So welcome to all of our friends in the Philippines who are joining us. But by the way, if you want to receive this, it'll come right to your news feed every day. Just go to Facebook.com/intentionalliving, like the page, and there it is. It'll be coming every day. Something fresh and new to encourage you, including on parenting. Today, Dr. Kevin Lehman joins me, and we're talking about parenting teenagers. And Kevin, one of the things, one of the verses, it's not a parenting verse per se, but in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, I think it is, it says, the quiet words of the wise are more to be heeded than the shout of a ruler of fools. And I thought, I know that has some spiritual significance beyond parenting, but that sounds like a lot of homes where we replace volume for content. And so one of the steps I think you teach, and I know we teach, is to really be a little more quiet, and then be more intentional following through, because yelling and demanding, that kind of thing, is very ineffective with teenagers.
Yeah, you know, just having a balanced approach to parenthood. You're not going to do it perfectly. We know that. And when you blow it, you know, if you can say, hey, you blew it, that's pretty good. You look at Moses. He blew it. Well, if I remember right, he got drunk after he did the ark. St. Paul calls himself wretched. And it's just a reminder to all of us that, and look at David, a man after God's own heart.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he ended up murdering the husband of the woman he had the affair with. I mean, you just have to put in proper perspective here that you're a pretty imperfect person. And so if you can let God really grow in your life to where you're saying, hey, God, I really want to please you today in everything I do, that's going to help you keep that ego in check. You're probably not going to be as verbose as you sometimes are. And if you can get your mate to help you, sometimes it's a code word that just says, honey, take a deep breath. Let's not get excited. We're all different. But I like that passage. I can't spell Ecclesiastes, but I like the verse.
All right. Hey, listen, we got a manipulator question here. That happens with teenagers, doesn't it? Carrie's in Arizona. Hi, Carrie.
Hello. How are you?
Good. Good. You're on with us. Go right ahead. What's your question?
Thank you. So, yes, I have a 14-year-old, and he seems to be, like, pressing my buttons and manipulating me at times. I'm not sure if it's really trying to get what he wants, but it seems to be more attention-grabbing.
So what kind of buttons does he push? Where is it that he lights you up?
It's more of what he says. We'll be playing, like, a board game or something, and he'll, like, oh, okay, well, I just won't take my turn because nobody likes me or...
Oh.
Oh, yeah. It's a setup, yeah.
Yeah. So what do you do? What do you say or do when he says that?
I right now I just keep playing and go ahead and skip his turn. And,
well, so what did you do in the past, though?
In the past, you know, I thought it was a cry for attention. And you know, I sit down and talk with him. And, you know, there's been some issues at school. You know, nothing that doesn't seem to be too outlandish or outrageous.
Yeah.
You know, he just, you know, getting into middle school and stuff like that. And
yeah, he'll pull your chain, Carrie, as yeah. You know. But let me give you just one liner to try to remember, because I found this to really work with kids who put themselves down unnecessarily. What they're looking for, of course, is a stroke, you know. They're looking for attention from you. But just try this sometime. When he says something negative about himself, just say, wow, I have to tell you the truth. I'm sorry you see yourself that way. And then say, you know, I don't see it that way at all, but I guess you have a right to your own opinion. And what you're doing there, you're telling him that you don't see him that way. You're sort of calling his bluff. But you're also telling him, if you want to feel that way about yourself, go right ahead. You're taking the payoff out by doing that. I call that putting the tennis ball life in the other person's court. It works. It works great with kids. They don't like that because they know all of our soft buttons, our soft spots. They know how to push the buttons.
Yeah, plus what you've done too, Carrie, in addition, is you've acknowledged that I've heard you. In other words, okay, your message was received, but I think if I hear you right, Kevin, you're saying, I heard your message, but I ain't giving you back what you want. I'm going to give you the truth, which is I don't see you that way, and I'm sorry you feel that way, and if you want to feel that way, there's not much I can do, but you're putting it back in, like you say, back in their court, which is a good place to try to keep it if you can, as much as you can. That makes sense?
Yeah.
So is this basically how he tries to get your attention, usually some negative response to something about himself?
Yeah, some sort of put down, you know, if something's not going his way, you know, then it's like a do or die type thing.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. You know, when I think about our kids, and God has given kids in this country, we all have so much. We're so blessed. I mean, we have so many resources, we have so many opportunities, and you see young people today who really are gifted in so many ways, and you see them putting themselves down, and it's unfortunate. And today, Kevin, as we know, with the online bullying that's going on, with the activity that goes on online, I'm not sure that young people today are learning to communicate one-on-one as much as they did in the past because of the online activity. Things are, you know, it's quick, it's text, it's Instagram, it's, you know, the things that the young people are using to connect with each other. Just learning to express how you feel and seeing your potential in Christ is certainly, when I talk about intentional living, I'm just so passionate that as parents and grandparents, we can help our kids begin to see that they are, that their identity is in Christ. Everything today is about identity, how people have an identity and what their identity is. And as Christians, to be able to come back to the fact that ultimately our identity is in Christ. And when we have that, that allows these other things that can get in the way, I think, to have less significance. But
well, we've given kids things they don't need. We haven't given them the things they really need. And I think that anger gets turned inward. I saw the other day a teenage suicide was up 170%.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, they're dropping like flies. That's terrible. Well, that's that anger turned inward. And what are kids angry about? That we snowplow the roads of life for kids? That we give them too many things? It's never enough? And so the parent who's well-grounded and has balance and is not afraid to tell their kids no, a parent who realizes that the goal of parenthood is not to create a happy child, but a responsible one, is the parent that's going to help their kid deal with the realities of life as they come one at a time.
Mm. Dr. Kevin Lehman is my guest today. We got more coming up here in just a moment. Kathleen has a rebellious 20-year-old son, and it sounds like there's some estrangement in the relationship. What should she do? We'll get to that in a moment. If you have a comment you want to join in, we welcome that at 888-888-1717. We have more in just a couple minutes.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
There's a difference between justice and fairness. Let me give you just a really practical example. You have a 16-year-old son or daughter, and they go down to the DMV and they get their driver's license, right? And they can now legally drive the car. And your 13-year-old comes along and says, well, that's not fair. I want to be able to drive too. So you could tell them to go down to DMV and talk to them about it. And they could scream and yell and say, well, that's not fair. They would say, kid, too bad. That's justice, right? That's just, but that's not necessarily, in the mind of that child, fair. What do you do when life is not fair? It's the teaching this month, because life isn't fair. And I'm going to be teaching, as you get the lesson, I'm going to be talking about Leah and Rachel in the Old Testament. And if you know anything about that story, two sisters, one attractive, one not so much, one loved, one unloved. Is that fair? And we see what happens when you feel that life isn't fair and the impact it has in your life. So members, watch for that coming your way. And if you're not a member, you can join us today by going to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Click on the donate button or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, and press number 4. Dr. Kevin Lehman is my guest today, and we're talking about parenting teenagers. And Kevin, we got Kathleen on the line from Arizona with apparently a rebellious 20-year-old son. Kathleen, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Appreciate your call. What's your question?
Well, I have a 20-year-old son, and my husband passed away a couple years ago from cancer.
Mm.
And he is now in a relationship with an atheist female. And I believe she's just trying to test the waters with me a bit, but we went on a day trip to Flagstaff And I was in the back seat, and the two of them, of course, were in the front. And she made a comment on the way up about, do I have to live near Sky Daddy? And I said, I'm not real sure what that means. And she said, well, do you have to live by a church? Do you have to be by religious people? And I said, well, I enjoy the fellowship that I have with the church I belong to and the people that I'm surrounded by. And my son's a believer as well. So I made eye contact with my son in the rearview mirror, and I felt like he wanted me to just let it go. So I let it go. And then there was a family gathering at my brother's, and I was asked, do you think that she's the one that Matthew should marry? And I said, no. I never elaborated. I never said anything further about her. I just said, no, I don't believe she's the one. And now my son and I haven't spoken in over 6 months.
Mm. You know, there's, Kathleen, I'm so sorry. There are pain points in relationships that if they get pushed enough, it can be a real breach in the relationship. Dangerous. It really is a dangerous part of the relationship sometimes between parents and their adult children, Kevin.
Yeah, let's everybody ask themselves, what's the purpose of nature of the rebellion in your son's life?
Mm.
And, you know, all social behavior serves a purpose. In my experience with rebellious kids, is their behavior, that is rebellion, is their way of saying, hey, you're not going to control my life. I'm going to run my life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not you, Kathleen, so it's dangerous for me to say if I were you, but for the sake of conversation, I'm going to say if I were you. I would go back, maybe in writing, since you're not talking, and say, you know, I've had some time to think about what I said. And you asked for my opinion, and I shared it with you. But you know, it struck me that what I think in the big picture of things doesn't matter. This is your life.
Mm-hmm.
This is a choice that you're going to have to make. And I can tell you, honey, that whoever you bring home to marry, I will do my very best to be respectful of and love as totally as I possibly can. I'll always love you, Mom. And that way you're taking a step forward. You're saying, hey, I don't know everything. You're going back a step to allow him to move closer to you. I would hate to think that he goes off and despite you, he hooks up with this girl and continues and marries her and whatever. I would trust your nose, Mom. I'm just saying I think you need to play your cards a little differently.
Well, I actually did that on Easter. I didn't send it to his condo because I know she's there now living, but I sent it to his workplace, and he responded in the text right before my birthday and said, I don't want to talk to you right now. I'll let you know if I want to speak to you in the future. Mm. So I've just let it
okay.
go.
And then the follow-up to that is, honey, whenever that happens, that'll be a great moment. That's all.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I would add, ask a question. How did your son handle Dad's death?
Not well at all. He pretty much took this position out in Arizona to escape what happened back in Pennsylvania when his father passed away from bone yeah. cancer. And then when I retired from nursing, I moved out here to be closer to him.
You know, we were during the break there a minute ago, they played a spot of teaching I'm doing this month on When Life Isn't Fair. It's going to our members. And I just wonder if I were to sit down with your son, you know, he grew up in a home. You guys had a Christian home?
Yes.
You know, you're living your Christian faith, and sometimes if it's not deep into a person's life, I mean, here's a 20-year-old losing his dad, 2 years ago? He was 18 years old, right?
Correct.
So here's an 18-year-old kid losing his dad to cancer, and you're preaching, I'm trusting God, God is good, God loves me. I mean, you're sharing what you believe. And your son isn't buying it. And I'm just wondering
correct.
If he's angry at God and that's spilling over into you.
Oh, he
and
definitely is.
And
definitely
so now he's hooked up with a girl who is closer to where he is right now, rejecting God and all of that. And I don't think I'd underestimate the spiritual component of this whole thing in your life. And add to what Kevin is saying, keeping the ball in his court, I would just then pray for your son, ask God to move in his life, if he truly is a believer, that let the Holy Spirit do it. You're not the Holy Spirit. It's not your job. But at maybe some point you're going to have an opportunity to talk to your son, because I'm just wondering, Kevin, if, you know, I'm 18, I lose my dad, and they're preaching that God is good, and I'm thinking God isn't good when my 18-year-old, I'm 18 and my dad dies of bone cancer. That doesn't seem fair.
Oh, yeah. How many adults do you know that are still mad at God for various things? You know, maturity helps. Right now, you just don't want to do any more harm that's been done.
Yeah.
And I think if you follow through what Randy and I have suggested to you, you're on pretty safe ground, and you're laying the foundation for him to come around and say, Mom, I don't like the way it is between us.
Mm. Just don't close those doors.
Yeah. Right.
Because if you do, I'll tell you, that's hard to get opened. So, hey, Kevin, I got 60 seconds. Thank you, Kathleen. 60 seconds. What do you say? What's the closing shot to parents of teens today?
Well, here, parents, hear me out on this. You know, the kids who really strike out at themselves, the kids who cut, for example, they cut their own body, the kids who do hard drugs, the kids who put themselves in disadvantaged situations, are kids who, yeah, I give you, they don't like themselves much. I get it. But I think it's more than that. I think a lot of them, especially that come out of the church, feel like their life is controlled.
Mm.
By who? By parents. Hey, parents, our job is not to control our children. You don't control them, okay? And God isn't even a controller. God lets us decide turn left or turn right. So keep that in mind. Give kids an opportunity to make some mistakes, to think the way they want to think. You don't always have to correct them. You don't have all the answers in your back pocket. None of us do. And continue to love, and don't forget to pray for your kids. Mm. It changes things.
That's true. Hey, Kevin, thanks for giving the time here to be with me today on Intentional Living.
My pleasure. Anytime, Randy.
And take care of yourself. I needed to ask you, how many books? You did the math. How many books have you written?
I think it's 63. But keep in mind, about four of them are pretty good.
All right. Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it. Take care of yourself, my friend. And give Sandy a hug, too.
I sure will.
Dr. Kevin Lehman, best-selling author, psychologist, good friend here on Intentional Living today. If you got a question, a comment you'd like to leave after our discussion, love to hear it. 888-888-1717. And again, if you missed any part of the program, you can get it on demand. Just go to wherever your podcasts are, and we're there. We'll see you next time from Intentional Living.